Well, it's my privilege this evening to announce our speaker. He got bumped from last week because we had a special speaker in as well, and he was gracious enough to allow us to do that. But our speaker is, he comes all the way from, where are you from? Where's hometown?
I'm right here.
Where is he?
Aberdeen.
Yes.
Hi.
Where's hometown?
Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Aberdeen. Brad's been here for around 10 years. He's the manager at the Sunset Mart and Chevron gas station in Colfax.
Usually.
Huh?
Usually.
Usually?
Yeah.
Usually. And he also is a part of our Bible Foundations. He's a TA. He's been there for a number of years. An amazing counselor and guide and mentor and helper. And he just does it all. And we're really excited as Brad is going to speak to us this evening. Give it up for Brad Keough!
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh. And look at, he even, oh, I like the bow tie.
Well,
I like
still,
the bow tie.
I'm told by the doctor the bow ties are cool. No slow cap. Spencer? So the first question I was asked before I even got up here was, what voice am I going to use? DJ, is this a good voice? Good. Cool. Great. Well, first off, I would like to thank Pastor Phil and Pastor Carey for asking me to speak. I'm very humbled by the opportunity. I cannot tell you how many times my life has been changed by the man or woman speaking of God to me up here. But first off, I want to address the elephant and the donkey in the room. We had an election recently. And so I really just want to stress the point, whether your candidates won or lost, we need to remember to pray for them. Politics do not define who we are in Christ. We need to remember God is in control and not ourselves. Okay, so let's get into the message. When Pastor Phil asked me to preach on Ephesians, I was really excited. But as I got to my truck, I realized what Ephesians was mostly known for is chapter 5 and chapter 6. Chapter 6 is the armor of God, and chapter 5 is about marriage. In my humbleness, I don't know if I'm able to speak on that or not. So I'm gonna skip over the marriage part. But I can tell you that's not what we're gonna be talking about. But true love is what we're going to be talking about here today. I was gonna make a Princess Bride reference there, but I just blew it. No, it's already passed. Time's passed. So tonight we're gonna be talking about Ephesians 4. Now, before I get into it, I want to explain what was going on and do a quick overview of Ephesians. Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians sometime in AD 60-61, around the same time he wrote Colossians. It was during this time that Paul sat in Rome undergoing his first Roman imprisonment. Paul divided his letter to the Ephesians into two clear statements. Applying the truths of the first makes possible the actions and lifestyle of the second. Paul spent the first three chapters of the letter discussing God's creation of holy community by his gift of grace in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The members of this community have been chosen by God through the work of Christ, adopted as sons and daughters of God, and brought near to the Father through faith in his Son. All people with this faith, Jews and Gentiles alike, were dead in their transgressions, and sins have been made alive of the person and work of Jesus Christ. So he broke it down into two sections, and so we're going to be mainly focusing on the second section. Now, while Paul was responding to a particular theological or moral problem, he wanted to protect against future problems by encouraging the Ephesians to mature in their faith. So after laying out profound theological truths in the first half of the book, Paul made his purpose clear. He expected that this community of faith would walk in accordance with his heavenly calling. So with this, we're going to dig into the word, and we're going to be in Ephesians 4, 17 through 25. Oh, by the way, it was Transform and Rollout. That's a Transformers reference, if anybody gets it. Okay, just want to make sure the nerd up here. Optimus Prime all the way. So let's get into this. Okay, so I tell you this and insist it on the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. what you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to be put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So I have one simple question for you all. What has made you want to change? And so I do want answers, so shout it out. What has made you want to change?
Hell.
Okay.
Didn't like who I was.
Didn't like who you were?
Wife.
Wife, yeah, that's... Again, I'm going to reiterate this.
Potential wife.
Yeah, thanks. We're going to talk after the service. Anything else?
Word of God.
Ooh, yeah, when things fail. Cool. So, as I've learned from Pastor Joe, I need to keep things a little simple. So, I have a simple truth for you all. Some would say it's the most profound thing you've ever heard. So, if you won't change, you won't change. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, I decided to go off of some sermons on over the summertime and was like, oh, let's just go simple. And so, that's my message. Thank you. That's it. Yeah, thanks. So a couple years ago, I wanted to kind of tie this in with what I've been going through the past couple years. And if you know me, I've been on kind of a transformation, if you will, as in trying to lose weight. And a commonly asked question I get is, what is the commonly asked question? How do you feel? I'm asked that several times. Now that's a loaded question in of itself. Because you got mentally, physically, spiritually, all these different aspects, right? So a common response, though, because I don't want to keep it long, is I feel good. But I do miss a couple things, like Mountain Dew and pizza. Of course, I'm told that I can have all these things in moderation. But if you know me, I have no self-control. So if you put a pizza in front of me, there will be no pizza. But I do have a little clip to explain my thinking.
Trying to see if it's okay to eat them, and everything looked fine, the fat content, everything. I looked at the serving size, 2 cookies. I ate Fig Newtons by the sleeve. 2 sleeves is a serving size. I open them both and eat them like a tree chipper. Fig Newton shavings coming off the side. I put a Newton catcher and empty that bag out as a snack. 2 Fig Newtons. With the size of a postage stamp. You want another one? Oh, I don't know. I've already had 2 whole entire Fig Newtons. Maybe I could try to muscle one more down, but I don't think I'm going to... I'm stuffed with the Raptors. They're nuts. We got an ER here. We got a 3 Fig Newton eater. How many did he have? What is he, nuts? Doesn't he read?
That is one of my all-time favorite clips. Okay. So, now, a couple questions also that I ask is, why did I decide to go on a diet? And so, I use a little thing called the cost-benefit analysis. I'm a business guy, and so, you know, I figured I'd do that. So, I want to show you how I decided this using... 2 very different kind of things. One is double stuffed Oreos. The other is a bowl of cauliflower and broccoli. So, oh, you like broccoli?
And cauliflower.
I'm cauliflower. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll keep that in mind. First, I would also like to thank Mr. Troll and Mrs. Rushhold for the corresponding, so you can probably tell whose is whose. So, we're going to start with this guy first, or girl. It belongs to the first graders. They lent it to me. Oh, well, tell them thank you. Here, they can have an Oreo. Here. How many do you have, by the way? Oh, so interesting fact. I went to Winco to buy these. Can someone tell me how many different kind of Oreos there are? Just in the section at Winco, just in the cookie section, not anywhere else, just in the cookie section. 23. There's 23 different kind of Oreos. And just for you pumpkin lovers, there is no kind of pumpkin. So, because I was actually there to buy pumpkin Oreos as well. Also, they don't fill it to the top anymore, if you noticed. So, like, I only gave away one cookie, and there's still all that room.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Oh. Yeah, cost-benefit analysis here. Okay, so... So what I really want to display is kind of what I do. So what I'm going to do is have every cookie I can eat on one side. Two, how many miles I'm going to have to run to eat said cookie.
Yes, that's right.
So, 1 mile. 2 mile. 3 mile. Just to be generous, I'm going to give me a little bit of bigger room. Okay. So I have to run 4 miles to eat one cookie. I don't know about you, but I don't want to run 4 miles. And here's also the thing. Now, if we try to balance it out, right? Because we're going to balance it out eventually. So it'll get to about this point, right? Now, if you keep it at that point, you're not going to go anywhere, right? You're going to stay exactly where you're at. You're going to need that balance where this one always weighs a little heavier to make a change, all right? Okay, so over the past month, Pastor Phil has mentioned me a few times in his messages, so I figured I'd get even with him. So if you can come up here and help me out, that'd be great. I don't have any, but I will give you an Oreo if you so want.
Oh,
or okay. The broccoli and cauliflower.
I'll take this.
Okay, great. So I want you to tell me a real life...
Tom would be proud of me, right? I'm going to take this, Tom.
Oh, notice how it's also Seahawks color bowl?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
And I want you to be... What is something in your life that has made you want to change?
My wife.
You want to go with that?
No.
Okay.
The Lord.
Okay, so.
The Lord is,
That'll actually bring me to, okay, so, again. So, let's just say that these are all our benefits, right?
Our benefits or
our
bad?
Benefits.
Oh, okay.
So, like, in Christ.
Okay.
Okay? So, we got these. Now, we have all the sin around us and stuff like that, right? So, we have all this and all this.
Is this bad now?
This is bad. Oh. This is bad. Well, running the mile wasn't good.
Okay, I want the Oreos now, then.
Oh, well, okay. Okay. So, this is bad, right?
Okay.
Okay, so. This is what we don't want, right?
No.
Right. Now, we actually have something that... Thankfully, because of Christ, we have a gigantic Oreo. Courtesy of this. So if you wouldn't mind holding this and standing there for the rest of my message, I'd appreciate it. Wait, are you on Sunday?
No.
Oh, thank God. Okay, thank you. You could sit down now. Thank you. And also, here, actually. You can actually hand these out if you want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but if anybody spills any crumbs, Pastor Carrie, you're going to have to talk to her. And if anybody does want the broccoli or cauliflower, I'm sorry. I didn't bring ranch. That's what makes it so delicious. Okay. So, that's what's so great is Christ already paid the cost, right? So we get the gigantic Oreo. We already get the benefits without having to do anything for it, which is awesomely addressed in the first 3 chapters of Ephesians when he gave us grace freely. So, let's go into the first step of what I did. First, you need to have a vision. We need to start somewhere. Now, you always need to think ahead and see where you want to be. Have the end in mind. Paul writes, Paul sees where they are at. He wants to make sure they stand strong on the foundation of the truth that they know and not be turned by worldly pleasures. He wants to make sure that they know that pizza and Mountain Dew should never be more important than Jesus Christ and his calling for them. So, if we take a look at verse 25, Paul states, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Paul gives them a vision, right? He tells them where they should be and something to strive for. Now, I was clearly thinking short term, right, before in my life. How I was living, what I was doing, But then I set a vision. I started with the end in mind, and I wanted to be more healthy. But just a vision means nothing alone, right? We can have this great goal. We see that at the beginning of every year. People have these visions, and they want to go and move on and better themselves, which is all great. But we need to make sure. So step two, get into position. We have to set our surroundings to make sure we stay focused on that vision. And before that, Paul amazingly addresses this too in 17 through 19. He says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." He tells them, don't do this. This is something you shouldn't do, right? Don't be around people who entice you to do these things. For me, I had to change my eating style. I couldn't have my kitchen full of cookies or pizza, and that's very challenging for you because I love cookies. Oh my gosh, I love cookies. I had to change how I ate. But thankfully, I chose the low-carb diet so I could have meat, and that was still on the menu, which was fantastic. So I could have steak, chicken, bacon, fish. I could have fish and more bacon, which was nice. But, you know, pops and desserts were pretty much gone. I also had to do something other than just eat better, right? Because you have two different sections. Because you can be like, oh, I want to eat healthier. But that's not really going to change your lifestyle as much. I had to start exercising. And so what I decided is I wanted to focus on something that I love doing. And I love being outdoors. It's something that I very much like to do. So I decided to focus mainly on cardio. And here's my big key point that I've learned so far. Getting yourself into position doesn't mean getting rid of all the things you love. It could be finding things you love and making them more part of your life. So for me, I look forward to coming home and going for a run. Not a lot of people can say that, but I genuinely do. Except for when it's kind of cold out, which, yay. And that's really, really cool, because if you think about it, so, when I've gone through this, so I actually had a Mountain Dew recently, and I didn't like it as much. I couldn't even finish it, because my tastes had changed over time. Just like sin when we walk away from it, when we change our perspective, when we change our mind and get away from things, we can forget about those things. Now, not to say that we still won't be enticed and indulged by those things sometimes, because, you know, who doesn't love Mountain Dew occasionally? Or pizza from Papa Murphy's. So, you know, we look at that and we're like, okay, now these things are somewhat okay in moderation, but again, we can't let them control ourselves. So we got to be very, very much aware of that and where we're at. Okay, the last step. Step three is complete the process. We have to do it. It takes action. And so Paul continues on in 20, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to be put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." It's all about that action, boss. Gotta love it. It's going to be tough, though. And that's the thing that I got to stress with you guys. It's going to be tough. Now, these three steps are not a one-and-done occurrence. It's a daily choice, right? So we wake up every day, and we have to choose continually with a Christ-like mindset for these things. Now, going on my diet has been the most challenging and transforming thing in my life I've ever done. But I really want to tell you a practical story that happened to me where very much it shook the core of me. Or some of you know this story, but I never really told the full story. I was running down Fountain, and I slid on the ice, and I got down, and I decided it was time for me to get a gym membership. So the next day, I went and got a gym membership, and that night, I was on a treadmill. And I heard the you know how I feel. So I got on the treadmill. I have a wide stance as it is, so I put it at 7 miles an hour. Uh-huh, it is a little fast, yeah. We go to the same gym, so yeah. And I put it at a 4-point incline, too, by the way. Yeah. So I was 3 minutes in and listening to my pod, and I was like, I don't like this song, so I'm going to change the song. Yeah, you're getting where it's going. Yeah. So I hit the side plastic with my right foot. I remember it so vividly. And then I tried to regain my balance, and I was like, oh, if I just hop over to the left side. But when I went to the left side, my right foot came back in on the treadmill. And I flew off the treadmill. 3 minutes into the first time I was ever on a treadmill. And it was bad. I looked like a beach whale, guys. It was very, very bad. And then needless to say, there's about probably a dozen people in there. And not one person came and asked me if I was okay. I stood up and I saw that my treadmill was still running. So I walked up and I shut that off because I was like, well, dignity aside, I got to at least turn off the treadmill before I leave. And I went and picked up my iPod, which was across the room. I stood there and I looked down and my knees and my shins were just covered in blood. And I had scraped myself up pretty bad. And I was sitting next to the treadmill and this is where the moment hit, where I was like, what am I going to do now? Am I going to just go into the bathroom, wash off, and go home? And I decided, because my vision was mine, and I was like, I have this vision. I have this goal. I want to do this. And I had a Christ-like mindset with it. I was like, am I going to let this stop me? And so without even going clean myself off, I got back on the treadmill. I put it actually at 5 miles an hour at 3 incline, and I went on there for the rest of 54 minutes. Because I wanted to make sure that I finished what I started. And what was really kind of cool that I realized later is that out of all those 12 people, if anybody came over and asked me if I was okay, I probably would have left. I needed to feel that real tangible emotion that I was able to say, okay, what am I going to do now? I can't depend on others. I have to depend on my relationship with Christ and set that as my vision. And what am I going to do when times get really hard? Which, I got to say, was probably the best decision I've ever made in my life. Because to be honest, I never felt more proud of myself. Because my security was not in those people. It was not in my shame. It's not in my disbelief, my disheartenedness, my pride. It was in Christ who wants me to be made new in the attitude of my mind and to put on a new self, created to be like Christ in true righteousness and holiness. It all comes back to verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Right? We're in this together. It's very crucial and important that we realize that we have a family, we have a community. And Paul addresses this so very well in this, with showing a real life thing that's been going on around them. And it's been fantastic to be able to look at that and look at our own lives and be like, well, what are we doing? How are we acting? To the least of these. You know? And so I really want to challenge all of you, if you have a vision, if you have something that you really want to do, if you have something that's on your back, I would be more than willing to happy and talk to you about it. And I'm sure there are several people in this church would be willing to too. Because we're in this together. We if we have problems, if we have issues, if you have a goal that you want to set in mind, please talk to somebody and do it. You know, it's an aha moment where it's like, okay, are we really going to go down and focus on what we want to do to change our lives? You know, changing for your wife, changing for God, for your beliefs, for not going to hell. These are all very, very crucial, important things that we need to think about on a daily basis. And how are we really going to apply these to our lives? So, it is so important that we lift each other up and we care for each other, especially in these important times. So again, thank you for listening to me. I very much appreciate it. I'd like to close this up in prayer, so if you wouldn't mind, please bow your heads. Lord, thank you for your free, unending grace. Thank you that our security is not in a position or come from people, but it comes from you and you alone. Lord, I ask that you clearly speak to each person here tonight and set it in their heart a vision for your truth. Amen. So, in conclusion, what is God telling you to make new in your life? What is your vision? What if people down here, we have people down here that would love to pray for you. And thank you for listening. You guys are dismissed.
Awesome. Awesome. Great job, Brad.
Thank you.
Come here, bud.
So
how many pounds have you lost? Can we ask that question?
140.
140 pounds. 140 pounds. Let's give him a good hand. 140 pounds. Woo! Wow. That is incredible. That takes a lot of effort, and that takes a lot of every day saying no to something. I think being a Christian is saying no to ourselves somewhere. We have to be able to do that. We have to be able to say no. We have to be able to say yes to God and no to all the junk that's out there, because there's so much stuff trying to get us persuaded in the wrong direction. I want to pray one last time. Father, I just thank you for Brad. I thank you for the example that he is. I thank you for his heart, Lord. Thank you for this first message that he's willing to say yes, Lord, when I asked him. And I thank you, Lord, for the good things you're doing inside of him and his life. We love him, Lord. We thank you for him. We thank you've planted him in this body. And we love him so very, very much. And we pray now, Lord, as we all leave today, we remember that we've got things on our backs, too. Things that we can conquer in Jesus Christ if we're willing to make that plan and move forward and go. Help us, Lord, to change to be the people you want us to be each and every day, inch by inch. We love you, Lord. We bless you, and we thank you for being so good to us. In that precious and wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you need prayer for anything, come on up here. You're all dismissed. God bless.